Hey, everybody. Shane Pressley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Hey, I want to tell you, we got a big party coming up on July 1st over at the Firebird. Big third annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show featuring the likes of Hounds, the Royal Furs, Bald Eagle Mountain, and Forgetting January, hosted by comedian John Venegoni. Tickets are $8 and $10 day of show. So come on over. We're going to have Gorilla Street Food out there, and we're going to have Four Hands Beer and all kinds of good stuff going on. It's going to be a fun event, and I can't wait to see you all out there. This episode brought to you by Gaslight. Check them out over there on the hill in St. Louis, Missouri, located at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Hey, come on by this Friday, June 9th, and see Elliot Pearson and friends in the studio recording a brand new record. And they also have a fun event coming up on June 25th, Gaslight Sessions with the Knuckles and Matthias and the Pirates. So mark those on your calendars. There's also a bunch of fun things coming up with the kids, so you can get involved with these Gaslight Summer Camps. Reach out and see how you can get the kids signed up for the camp. All details at GaslightSTL.com. Be sure to follow them along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They're a wonderful record store located right here in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, come by every Friday. New records in store. This week, they'll have records in from 311, Neil Young, Lord, Flaming Lips, Taking Back Sunday, Prince of Montreal, Beach House. All kinds of things happening over there. Full listing of all these details at musicrecordshop.com. You can also follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. They do a lot of fun things with live in stores and giving away records and tickets and things. So all that you can find them on their social media. Follow along, support local business. I want to say thank you also for listening wherever you're listening to the show, whether it's your Google Play, Stitcher, or through the website, rockpaperpodcast.com. But really means a lot. Like I said, I've been doing the show 3 years now, and it's crazy. But yeah, thank you for listening.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Ken Calcaterra from Conversations with Calcaterra, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Pressley here. Rock Paper Podcast coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Ken Calcaterra.
Hey, Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's good to be here. This was your show was the first podcast I ever appeared on, so yeah, can't thank you enough for that, and it was a good time.
Yeah. This, man, it's been almost 2 years. I was looking at the look back at it. That was like episode 96.
Holy cow, time flies.
Yeah, and now I'm over 400-something, and like it's just crazy, though, man. But yeah, like I'm excited it's worked out. We're hanging out here again. And yeah, like you say, that was your first podcast on my show, but now you've been at it, you're doing your own show, and like it's kind of crazy, man. I feel like a proud father or something. Now I helped I remember we were talking a lot when you were getting started, you know, trying to like getting some pointers and stuff, and I was like. So I love that you actually made it happen, man. You're doing it. So
yeah, and I appreciate that, man. That encouragement and just giving me, you know, a little bit of advice was really helpful. I don't quite have 400, but this, you know, the next one that you appear in will be, I think, episode number 37.
Yeah.
So, you know, moving along. It's nice.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, you know, that's the, like, there's no rules to any of this. Like, I put, like, 4 a week out, and I've been running with that for about 2 years, 3 or 4 a week, and but yeah, like I realize that's a lot, but
yeah, man, you're rocking it out. You're talking to a lot of people
for sure. Yeah, I do. I mean, I have a lot of fun doing it, though. I'm meeting all kinds of people all around this beautiful city of ours. So meeting people from all over the place. So it's really been
fun, and it's a great, you know, like, it's a great excuse for networking, I think. Like, it's just
me. Oh, definitely.
You know, it's a lot easier to ask somebody to come hang out and do your show when, instead of like just, you know, hey, you want to hang out and like talk. So it's like, it's a little less creepy to talk to somebody on the mic. So
yeah, no doubt. Do you find that you have, now that you have 400 episodes, people know of your show? Do you have a lot of people reaching out to you to hang out and to record?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I definitely get messages, a lot of people wanting to be a part of it, which is flattering, man. It's very exciting that people want to be a part of the show. So it's, but yeah, kind of, you know, gaining a little momentum in town.
Yeah, makes it a lot easier when people are wanting to be a part of something.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I haven't got to that point yet. You know, some people are reaching out, but in fact, the last episode that I just released with Ryan Gong, who I would say like Gong, Ryan Gong, he's a musician out of Philadelphia. Also, you know, he spends a lot of time in Los Angeles, so he kind of by city or however you say that, you know, multiple cities. Tours a lot in Europe, but he, you know, one of his, the roommate that he had or where he was staying in LA just reached out and sent me a song to take a listen to, and, you know, really poppy and cool music. So, yeah. You know, hopefully at some point that'll be somebody that I can feature as well.
Yeah. Well, your show is Conversations with Calcaterra.
Correct.
So
yeah.
If you haven't checked it out yet and you're listening to this show, go over there and click subscribe and check out everything over there. But yeah, you got people, you know, you say musicians, you got healers and authors and a professional wrestler, and you got people all, you know, very different walks of life, which I thought was quite fascinating to kind of listen to different stuff. I mean, I'm big into music and comedy, and that's a lot of what I'm a part of. And I love, you know, hearing just a great conversation with anybody. So.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, the another one that I recorded today was with a guy named Tony Rehagen, and he is a journalist. So narrative journalism. He's written for numerous magazines. I think he's written for Esquire. He writes for St. Louis Magazine. He just moved into town recently. He was down in Atlanta for a number of years, so he's written a lot of baseball stories. Wrote a great Leo Mazzoni story, the pitching coach of a number of years for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a cool guy, and he has a lot of experiences. And just talking to him about his craft and just the things he's experienced and the people that he's met, it's just really fascinating.
And now you do. All of yours in person too, right?
I try to, but like some people, like Ryan, he was in LA at the time.
Okay.
And so just, you know, hooked up. I've been using Google Hangouts and a buddy of mine named Matt Sims, who's just an audiophile. We did some tests and found that Google Hangouts was, you know, the cleanest sound.
Mm-hmm.
So just run it through a little interface out of the laptop and run it into a little Zoom recorder. And get a good signal with that. And,
right.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, there's no right or wrong to any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, but yeah, like I have, you know, people that do multiple people in a hangout kind of thing over the internet. And then, but yeah, it's fun, man. It's nice that we have that ability over the internet, mm-hmm. that we, you know, halfway across the country and you can talk to them and have a conversation.
Across the world.
Yeah,
you know? Hopefully
sure.
At some point, maybe some friends in Italy or, you know, there's some people that I met in Nashville who are based in England. This band called Uberfuse, or is it Oberfuse? And so met them, what was it, almost probably a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this kind of exchange program between the UK and in Nashville. So all these people came over from the UK, and they were recording in various studios in Nashville, creating music. And the studio that where I had met them was called Creative Caffeine. So that was a studio of a guy named Pino Squillace. So an Italian fella who, you know, has become a friend, you know, really good dude. And he is, I think, like episode number 10 or 11 of my podcast. So, you know, he has since moved from that space because it was super expensive and beautiful, beautiful studio. But I think he was paying something like $15,000 a month in rent or something like that. So, yeah. So, you know, any more people can record on a MacBook.
Yeah.
So to have a beautiful studio like that, to keep it up, is kind of stressful.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was his situation in leaving, or if his lease was up, or, you know, what his deal was. But, you know, for me, that'd be kind of stressful,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding that much work and, you know, keeping that pace. But, beautiful space. And, yeah, just met a number of people over there just hanging out, you know, a few times.
Yeah. What was his name? What did you...
Pino Squillace.
Yeah, that's a lot more fun to say than Shane Presley, I think. That'd be a fun one to have.
But the Italians would probably love saying Shane Presley.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so when you go other places, then you're the interesting one with right. the accent.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important to travel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would love to do some more traveling. You know, we said you started as a guest on my show, and did that help put the bug in the, you know, to make you want to give this a shot at podcasting and stuff?
You know, at that time I wasn't thinking about it, because I was really, at the time we talked, was when I was still putting together It's Hard Rock Life,
yeah.
which I have a couple touches to put on that, mm-hmm. Which is crazy. It's taken so long. So I have, with that project, I have one, we just trimmed it down, my creative partner, William Locke, and myself. You met William. It was 9 minutes at one point, I think it's 8 minutes, and just waiting for one final piece of music to be composed. And, it was such a big undertaking, and unfortunately I didn't have the resources to put it together how it was in my head. And then freelance work came in. It was pretty busy last year, and then I kind of just lost focus a little bit. So mm-hmm. hopefully this August or September, I want to have a live event, show another piece that I did that's related to it. Keith Dickerson, who wasn't here for your part. No, he was, wasn't
he? Yeah, it was Keith said it, yeah.
Okay, so it was Keith, Brian, and mm-hmm. Paul. Okay,
yeah.
So we had all those and myself.
Yep.
Okay, wow, that's 2 years.
Yeah.
Brain gets clouded. But so Keith put together another piece with him, and of course William helped with that as well, so we partnered on it. And that was a piece called Pedaling to Stop Pushing. And with that piece, we won an Emmy, and so that was really cool.
Yeah.
And it's just an emotional piece. Whenever I watch it, it's just, yeah, you know, just tears creep
sure.
up. So to do work like that's amazing. And I think definitely the It's a Hard Rock Life piece is something that, you know, you get a little tingle on the back of your neck, mm-hmm. and it's really cool to see these guys creating great work. And just their passion for their music, and the older guys still doing it and putting it out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully we'll be able to do some more one day with that. Just, you know, that whole thing of paying the bills and everything, and art doesn't necessarily do that.
Right. You know, I've kind of spoke about it on a couple episodes, but like, about a year ago, I guess, I saw Kevin Smith do like his one man evening with Kevin Smith
fantastic.
Show
yeah.
at the pageant. And I've got, you know, of course he's a big podcaster himself, but he kind of shined a little light on made me realize that there was a lot more to this than what I was doing. Like, I was always having a good time with it, but, the fact that, like, he talked about, like, as we get older and our memory starts to slip, like the first memories to go are like the sounds of somebody's voice, and obviously with podcasting we're preserving these audio files of somebody's voice, cataloging all this, and so he was saying if anything were ever happened to him or his, you know, family, like his mother is a guest on his show a lot, he, you know, likes to interview family and things, and but if anything were to happen, he'd always have all these audio files
yeah.
of these people's voice, and his kids could relive it, you know, listen to this stuff and things like that. And so anyway, all that kind of like light bulb went off and just kind of made me realize that I could do a lot more like provoking stuff like with this instead of just talking, you know, and having a good time. We can actually move somebody and make a difference and do, you know, so like the type of film work that you were talking about, like we can make it happen in audio too and in a podcast
format. Definitely. And that's one of the reasons with my podcast, because I've just been blessed to meet so many cool people over the years and to create a documentary for these people. It's like, wow, your story's great. I mean, I would love to share, you know, what you're doing with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this just became a catalyst for that, to really share some great work.
Yeah.
Just like when I met Ryan in LA, I knew right away just his energy, and he was mentoring people, and he was giving advice on touring. And that's just one thing. He came into one of the sessions. It was with a guy named Chris Long, who manages a few bands, and I can't remember the names, but he's another guy that just super cool to talk with, you know, just great at sharing his knowledge. And he's somebody that I just kind of been off my radar until now. I just remembered that I'd like to feature. But Ryan came into his seminar and start talking about touring and setting up your own tour and being your own booking agent. And then when I saw him throughout the conference, I was just like, this guy is a rock star. And the fact that my definition being somebody that is just so passionate and energetic about what they're doing, that they have this energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just like there's rock star podcasters out there. And yeah. I'm not one of them yet, but, you know, you're getting to be there.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just riding the wave, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
See where this takes me. So how you mentioned being a Emmy Award winner now. How has that changed anything? Like, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Like,
and not really. I mean, it's really the contacts you have.
Yeah.
And it's a nice discussion piece. It breaks the ice. And some people, I guess it validates the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that piece, whether if or not it won, is, you know, something that, like I stated, when I watch it, I feel something.
Yeah.
And there's people that don't know Keith or don't know me that have watched it, and you see the tears in their eyes.
Yeah.
And you know, all right, I've done something good. It's a great discussion piece, and it's, you know, fun, like with podcasts, people come by and like, hey, can we get a picture with this?
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Yeah.
But then it's just, you know, you constant hustle, you know, you always have to be making contacts and, you know, generating things. So whether it be video, podcasting, you know, whatever your job is in life. So you just have to, especially in this day and age with social media, you know, it's more accessible. So you have to put yourself out there even more.
Mm-hmm. I do, I think as far as being your film side to being a podcaster, like, that's probably got to be one of the biggest things is just being that the turnaround. You know, the fact that a podcast, you can, you know, have this audio, you could even post it the same day or whatever, but you can have this conversation live almost and have it, you know, instead of you're saying like in Hard Knock Life or Hard Rock Life, that you've been working on this piece for, you know, going on 2 years or something. Some, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of behind the scenes work to get it right. And I don't know, just it's kind of crazy the time investment difference, even though in the different arts, you know, just
definitely. And looking at, you know, granted that piece hasn't, it's not 2 years of actual work.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of initially capturing, just going out, getting to know these guys, capturing what's called B-roll. So
yeah.
It's like the, you know, in certain pieces, like if you're just, it's not the main story thread, but it illustrates the main story. Just getting the interviews and everything, and then putting it all together. The editing, I don't know, maybe we have 60 hours into it. Maybe, I don't know, that one, maybe 80. I don't remember, because we had so much footage to go through.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this, I think I can put an episode together. You know, I enjoy listening to it, and then I'm starting to pull quotes.
Yeah.
And because I want to use those as promotional pieces and things of that nature, that I think with the recording and then the editing, it's maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
So definitely, yeah, you can put out content in a lot less time.
Sure. Yeah. Is there, do you have current something you're working on, like for as film work, and, or that was the next thing you're wanting to get into, or a project, an idea that you're thinking about?
I have some shows I want to develop. I have some shorts that I want to do, but really lately it's just the podcasting has mm-hmm. been more fun.
Sure.
And then just other life things. You know, I'm helping coach my nephew's little league team, so doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a few freelance projects.
Yeah.
There's a commercial project that I may be doing soon that's like a small commercial campaign. So that we don't have the deal set yet, so I don't want to jinx it. But that could be a lot of fun. And so, you know, something pretty simple, little 15-second spots.
Mm-hmm.
So a series of those. So yeah, that'll be a lot of fun to work on those, and hopefully, you know, we'll have a pretty small team on it, but it'll be a tight-knit group.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun collaborating.
I think that's important though, in for a creative type like yourself, where where you can do these different platforms, you can, but you're constantly, you know, working at something, but like, you know, you even if you're not working on film directly, like you can do the podcast for a while and it kind of helps get you away from it for a minute, but then you can kind of come back in a fresh take on something or whatever, and instead of just, you know, constantly one lane focused on this thing, like you get, kind of helps you broaden your horizon a little bit more and everything else, like you, another thing you can apply to it, another tool in your belt kind of thing. And
yeah, sometimes when you step away from something, then you come back with more energy. So, you know, another thing, I'm doing some consulting. Mm-hmm. So there's a company a friend of mine has. It's a paintbrush company. So we're still working out some details, but I put a little bit of work into that. And so that's fun. So there's a lot of different marketing ideas and branding ideas. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just an exercising that creative muscle.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, hopefully we'll get back into, you know, creating some more visual things. Still photography, that's something that I've been playing with more. Mm-hmm. You know, something I've always done, but something I'd like to do a little more professionally. Or, you know, the last band thing that I did, there's a band called Nervous Pudding.
Yeah.
And so a few years ago, and their lead singer just passed, but he's a longtime friend who I've known since college. It's been a little while. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was fun to just, you know, shape the light a little bit and create something cool with them. So you look at those images, and it's just, it's very fulfilling to, you know, have some content out there to create.
Sure. And speaking of those guys, you had the rest of the band on the show, right?
Yeah.
For the podcast?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that one was kind of chaotic because I had one guy, you know, remote, so on Google Hangouts, and I didn't have, with my recorder, I only had four channels, so I mixed him and another guy that was in studio who I thought, okay, he doesn't, you know, historically he never spoke that much. So I'm thinking like, all right, if I combine these two, I'm good. And then he spoke a lot and, you know, little, you know, at times I would have to pot down.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, kind of switch the channel a little bit or split the channel. But it worked. It was a lot of fun. It was kind of chaotic because you have that many people and I'm controlling the flow of the communication, you know, interviewing them, keeping everything going, and engineering.
Right.
So it was kind of crazy.
Yeah. I did listen, actually, today I listened to your Curtis Wild.
Yeah, Curtis is cool.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I really enjoyed it. Like, it was just fun, you know, again, a fun conversation, kind of learning a little bit more about what he's up to, especially as a professional wrestler and a politician. So thought that was kind of a unique combination of things.
Yeah, totally. And I never realized, you know, I've always thought of it because I have friends who are podcasters, like, hey, you know, talking about podcasts on a podcast, how would that work? But I enjoy the fact to really talk about what these cool people are doing. And so an extra opportunity. And Curtis is a guy, you know, he's a Bernie-crat, and he just he dipped his toes in the water of politics, like many others who just, you know, wanted to be, you know, he considers himself not a politician, but a public servant.
Right.
And so, yeah, he talks about that in the episode and just, you know, how he translates his skills communicating and, you know, his improv and whatnot in professional wrestling to, you know, to express his particular views as far as, you know, things that are going to help people. And he's out in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what district or if anybody even would know what that district is, but he's out in the St. Peter's area. And, but even though, you know, he leans a lot of social issues to the left, you know, certain issues like, you know, Second Amendment, he's definitely for that. He's, you know, he's a guy that enjoys going out and shooting and hunting and things of that nature. So, you know, really we look at these people that are running and that are public servants, you know, as an individual with what views best meet our views versus, you know, party. I think we're too much into this party politics where it's just like, okay, I have to think this because that's what my party does.
Yeah.
So then you have these kind of hybrid people who, you know, have certain views in one area, other views in another. And, you know, a lot of them really, when he was out there, I was helping him canvas and talk to people, knocking on doors. And, you know, a lot of people are like, you know what? Even though I don't typically vote that way, we like what you're talking about. And he was able on $6,000 to I don't even know what the percentage, but he was really close, and I think his opponent had 100,000.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing what you can do.
For sure. Yeah, and it was quite fascinating. So, definitely check that episode out. Available 24/7 on your iTunes or Google Play or wherever you're listening on your podcast app.
So. Yeah, I'm digging Google Play. That's where I listen to your podcast.
Yeah,
and I think the last one that I listened to was the Hounds episode.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, you haven't talked to those guys in a while.
Yeah, but, good. Yeah, they're great guys. They were kind of quiet for a minute, but yeah, they're gearing up for some big things and gonna hit it hard here in a little bit. And but yeah, they're great guys. It's been a lot of fun watching them grow as musicians and stuff over the last several years. But
yeah, nice. And they're playing. So you have a show coming up. What is it? July 3rd.
First.
July 1st,
yeah,
okay.
It's the third annual.
That's what I'm mixing my numbers up. Yeah. So your third annual, July 1st, and Hounds are playing. Who else?
Hounds. We got Forgetting January, Bald Eagle Mountain, and the Royal Furs. They're out of Columbia, Missouri.
Cool.
But yeah, four great rock bands. They all have a little bit different. Forgetting January's got like a pop punk sound.
Okay.
And then Royal Furs, just rock and roll. Hounds, kind of more pop rock influence. And then you got Bald Eagle Mountain. They're like a hard and heavy kind of classic rock band. So
nice.
It's going to be a little bit. They do their own twist to it, but they're definitely like KC influenced.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's going to be a wild night. And we got Gorilla Street Food going to be out there.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, man. It's definitely need to go. So started as a food truck.
Okay.
Doing a lot of things, a lot of, you know, parks, all these festivals and all these, or not festivals, I guess, but food truck events and things. And but yeah, they definitely started gaining a lot of fan base and a lot of momentum. And they've opened up a brick and mortar down in off of Grand
Okay.
area.
Okay, cool.
And they doing real well over there, I think. I don't know, but I believe there might be a talks of a second location opening soon. I believe, I don't want to misspeak, but yeah, but they're doing real well. But they're going to bring the food truck over to Firebird that night and hang out with us. And they're a Filipino food, so yeah, a lot of really good stuff out of there.
I'm not that familiar with the Filipino cuisine.
Sure.
So
me neither, but I've had a couple of dishes and they're all excellent. A lot of great, you know, unique spices and stuff in there. But they do also, like over there, they do once a month, they do a full hog roast, like traditional Filipino style, like, and they use every single piece of the pig and like kind of thing. So it's nice to see that they're like, Joel is a co-owner of it, and he's you know, it's nice to see putting like his Filipino heritage to, you know,
cool,
and bringing it into there. So, because like, again, that's exactly what he was saying. It was like, we don't really have a ton of Filipino restaurants represented in St. Louis here. So, you know, so he wanted to help, you know, bring it to St. Louis.
Right on, man. And they have, you have them at your third annual Rock Paper Podcast. What do you call the event?
Birthday show. Yeah.
Birthday show. Cool.
Yeah. It's, May officially was 3 years of doing the show now. Last year's party wound up at the end of June. And then, so I just happened to work out that it was available date on the July 1st. So it's not like the actual date, but that's when we're partying. So. Yeah, it's
cool,
gonna be a
man.
Lot of fun. My buddy John Van Goden is going to host it and do some comedy in between.
It's a good name. Yeah. I like that name.
Yeah.
Good Italian name.
Yeah. Yeah, great guy and very funny. So I'm excited that he'll be there also. And it's going to be a wild night. I got brand new shirts too. So.
And which shirt was that? That was the red shirt that I saw?
Yeah, that's
cool, man.
Yeah, I plan to do like an assortment of colors. But yeah, that's really. Happy how these turned out, and I'm gonna have those for sale, man. So
that's cool, man. I like what you're doing.
It's very exciting to kind of get into merch now.
Yeah, your brand is one that really is set up where you can do cool different things.
Yeah.
Mine is, I couldn't think of a great name for the show. I'm thinking like, what should I call this? And then it was just like, it just kind of fell into my head, like Conversations with Calcaterra. Okay, you know, that has a nice ring to it.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm branding myself, and it's just like, you know, I thought at one point, yeah, it'd be cool to do something with a group of friends, but I think this is, you had that, or maybe not an issue, but you started with someone else, correct?
Yeah, no, there was no issue. It just became time. That was
yeah, and I think that's so. What it is, scheduling. So I'm thinking, like, if I was just, you know, stuck, or if I, you know, had that co-host, and it was always like I couldn't have a show without that person.
Sure.
Well, now with the technology, you can probably do it anywhere. But yeah, so at the time, I just wasn't thinking of it, and it just became Conversations with Calcaterra.
Yeah.
So I have a logo now, so I'll have to get some stickers. I don't know if that how that logo would translate to a T-shirt, or if anybody would even be interested. But yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll just get one for myself and family members.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's pretty what my first run. Shirts, I did like a pre-order kind of thing online, and I sold like 30 of them. Then
yeah, it's not bad.
Just to my close friends, and so yeah, you know, start small, and as it continues to expand, you know, keep growing with it. But yeah, it's crazy, man. I don't know. I've been having a lot of fun with this, like I said. So it's cool to see people are responding in the way they are, but yeah, the party's gonna be a lot of fun. It's gonna be. I have tickets available if anybody's listening and wants a ticket. Join us. Go, hit me up. So
nice becoming a promoter now.
Yeah,
that's cool, man.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to. I'd love to do this like more often too. Like it'd be really cool to get out and do more of these than once a year or so.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about in part two since we're doing this this whole crossover thing,
which
is really cool. I'm glad. Thanks for reaching out with that. So as we're talking, I'm thinking of some different, you know, taking notes.
Yeah.
So yes, listeners, stay tuned for part two with Shane Presley on Conversations with Calcaterra.
Yeah. As a fairly new podcaster, you know, still, do you have any advice for yourself that you've learned, do's and don'ts or anything? Anybody that you could, any wisdom you can share?
Oh, good question. I mean, I think I personally, I have generally a lot of preparation. This one is one of the few ones where I'm kind of winging it. But, you know, due to the fact that I followed you, you know, I follow you on Facebook. I know, you know, some of the bands you listen to and just my general, you know, curiosity. It's, you know, generally can come up with that now. But it's never hurts to prepare and have some notes because you never know when you're going to have that time when your mind goes blank, and then you know, looking down to some of those notes will help.
Sure.
You know, as far as my buddy Matt Sims and I were talking about this, how to teach people podcasting. And, you know, as far as gear, it's generally when you're starting out, I would say keep it simple. And I think that that's something you and I had talked about. You keep it where, you know, you have just a couple pieces of gear so you can go remote and record anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's cool. What else? As far as don't just ask like leading questions. So like avoid yes or no questions.
Right.
And that's important with, you know, as a journalist, as a podcaster, or, you know, as a documentary filmmaker. Because you don't, when you ask those questions like Shane, you know, how do you, do you enjoy podcasting? Yeah. And, you know, somebody like yourself, you're going to expand upon that. But you typically don't want all your answers to start with yes or no. So you want to give them an open-ended question. And I found, you know, I was talking to my friend Corey Stoles, who he wrote a book called, now I got to think of it and look on the shelf, The Union of the State. So he was able to get in with the comedy troupe, The State, you know, he's befriended a lot of those guys and just wrote an amazing book that's interview style with them. And, it's well worth, you know, check out the podcast episode, kencalcaterra.com/podcast or Stitcher, Google Play, all the same places where Shane has his podcast. And we were talking about this Jerry Lewis interview where this younger guy came in there and it was all on Facebook and he just every question was basically yes or no.
Yeah.
And then at some point Jerry Lewis just got really frustrated with this guy and was just kind of a dick.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess you can't blame him. You know, 90 years old, comedy legend,
sure.
And and this guy just didn't do his homework.
I'm pretty sure I heard that on Stern Show or something.
And then work on your, if you're talking a lot. So I don't talk this much on mine. And, yeah, so I guess work on breathing techniques.
Right. Yeah. It is, you know, we mentioned early about the editing and stuff. And that's one thing that I feel like that's really helped me a lot. As much as I hated it at first, the listening back to my show, like, you know, you're listening as you record it, you listen as you edit, and then, then I listen as the final product. And I feel like that's helped me a lot.
Totally.
To get, you know, I analyze myself as a, you know, as a critic, and I'm like, man, I'm, you know, here's my ands and ums and all the other dumb things I'm saying. And so it's like, so I feel like that was a big help as becoming a, also doing it a lot, but
totally,
haven't become more of a proper broadcaster and stuff.
Yeah, no, listening to it, you hear all kinds of things, and at times I'm thinking to myself, oh, I sound like such an idiot.
Yeah.
So even if you sound like such an idiot, which times I, you know, come across as that, keep doing it.
Right.
So that's probably the biggest thing. Like, don't worry about that, because the more you do it, the better you'll get.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's just one thing sometimes. And I think that's part of my style, especially with documentaries. At some points, I don't have, I'm asking a question, and or I'll go in, I'll get hired for a day, like as a field producer. And so maybe it's for some like medical documentary. It's a nice day rate, so they send me some questions. I look, I do a little prep, kind of wrap my head around it, and then I go talk to these people. And some of this I'm trying to figure out as I'm going. So one, you know, it's I don't really have to fully know, but as trying to follow up with certain questions and whatnot, I wanna know enough. And sometimes I throw something out, and I'm thinking to myself, that made zero sense whatsoever. I'm thinking like, oh, and, but the coolest thing is when you're there, you're talking to this person, you're connecting. Really, it's your energy. So, you know, I'm projecting this energy, and even though I'm not, doesn't appear to be making any sense, they say, oh, yeah, yeah, I know. And then they come up with the greatest answer. And the cool thing about the documentary is you never hear me.
Right.
So it's like, hey, as long as I was able to pull this wonderful answer out of them, and they sound great, and they look great, then I did my job.
Definitely.
And sometimes I think I get the best answers from them when it seems like I'm just like, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And then they're just like, oh, yeah, yeah, here's this. And it's like, home run. And that's a great moment. That's the thing. With talking with Tony Rehagen today, I'm thinking, like, I mean, this guy is a writer, has a great vocabulary. And I'm thinking, like, ah, man, I want to improve on my vocabulary. And it's like, well, you know, it doesn't, as long as he sounds great and he comes across and his passion for what he does is there, then that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just me bringing that person to, you know, to the table, recording it and putting it out there is, you know, that's a victory in itself. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully down the line, I'll get better. And you know, some people have said, well, you have a great voice for this. And I'm thinking like, really, are you serious? Cause I don't. I think one time or another hate our own voices.
Yeah.
So maybe we get used to it.
Sure. I think for me also, I don't do a lot of preparing at all, just because I kind of like to just go in and wing it and see where the conversation goes and let it roll. And like, because I like to do my, you know, kind of pick up on things and try to dive into like what they're passionate about. Again, like you're talking about, like you want to hear that passion come through. And it's like, but if I have like a list of a bunch of prepared things, and I'm going to try to work my list and try to, you know, things that I've already, you know, like want to get to, but sometimes you, it takes a total different turn and you tap into something, you know, that you might not otherwise found. So,
and you should go with that. Right. So for instance, the last two, so Tony's today, like he would say something or he maybe answered something later on down the line. So then I would not even approach that. Or if it goes a certain direction, then you kind of go with it and follow it, and then maybe you come back to something.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, that preparation isn't so much on, you know, you have to stick with it, and if it goes another direction, like you get freaked out or anything.
Yeah.
But it's just good to have, because if you're talking with somebody and they're just not having a great day, or, you know, maybe you don't know that person and they're just not a great interview, then you're covered.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can throw this out, and then it just doesn't get, you know, it's to those low points. I mean, you can edit it, but, you know, I try to edit as little as possible.
For sure, yeah.
So hopefully I'm just adjusting some sound levels and then listening, you know, writing some quotes down. But in the Tony episode, Tony Rehagen, that'll be the next one I put out. With him, he talked about being prepared but not being one to, like, seem to know it all, because that can turn off your subjects as well. Mm-hmm. So with him, with journalism, you want it to be where your subject feels as if they're teaching you something. So it's good to be knowledgeable, but it's also sometimes good to have a little bit of that, I guess, innocence or, you know, naivety coming into it, and just not knowing, so that curiosity. So yeah, it's a balancing act, I think.
Yeah. Do you have any crazy stories that something either on the mic or off the mic that happened while recording?
Yeah, not really podcasting, but like when you're looking at, like, being on film shoots, or, you know, it's all video now, but you know, motion pictures. Now, let me think. I mean, nothing like overly crazy. Right. Once I start thinking about it, I mean, we've had some shoots on farms. Just interview shoots, which overall I guess could be kind of boring. But at one point we set up, you know, we had the camera set up. We had our subject in a great spot. The light was great. You know, we have all this gear we set up to diffuse the light. And then unknowingly when we set up, you know, we're just looking for a, you know, picturesque area. We're set up on like an anthill. And it didn't get to me, but I wasn't operating camera on that one. So, you know, I was directing, taking notes. And so, yeah, apparently ants were nipping at the heels of, right, you know, of the camera and sound guy. So that was kind of fun. And then at one point, that same shoot, we were down, I think, in Mississippi. And at one point, this police car pulls up, and the guy's like, "Yeah, you have a permit?" And so, you know, of course, I'm producing, directing. So I go over to him and, we don't. But, you know, we're in private property. We don't really need a permit. And he's like, "Around here, you need a permit." And so it's like, okay, well, you know, where do we go get a permit? And then, you know, he's like, "Well, you go here," and they're not open today. And it's like, well, what can we do to make this work? And then the guy, the place where we're shooting, this like a tractor dealership, he starts laughing, and this guy was a friend of his, and he told him to come by. And, you know, I kept it pretty cool, but I'm thinking like, all right, well, I don't know what we can do at this point.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of fun when people, you know, get their friends to mess with you a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and at that point, I probably, you know, I sometimes take things a little too serious, but I think I handled that one well.
Right.
With Nervous Pudding, yeah, that would be a good story. We talked a little bit about that with in their podcast. So never have – so anybody that's getting in a video or working with bands for photo shoots or maybe even podcasting, you know, when the band says, "Hey, we'll handle these details," yeah, that's just like not – I don't know. That's a touchy situation. So at one point we were putting a video together for one of their songs, and it was just – was one of these things. I don't even know how it happened. There was like very little pre-production. I don't even remember when I completed the thing. I was thinking, how did this even start? Because it wasn't something I really planned to do. It just happened. And so they wanted to go to this place called the Offsets, which I don't even remember where that is. Somewhere maybe Jefferson County.
I mean, that's like a cliffs, right? Like a
quarry
or something.
Yeah, it's an old rock quarry.
Yeah.
And so they say, let's go there. We can get shots of, you know, we can jump off of this cliff and, you know, get in the water and this. And I'm, at this point, I'm not even thinking how did any of this make sense. But it's like, all right, let's go do it. That'll be fun. So I was working at this place at the time, so I had access to gear. And so I loaded up a bunch of gear in the vehicle and, you know, had a mini crane. A jib is another term for it. And, you know, it was like at the time, like mini DV camera. Just, you know, some different toys. You know, so many cooler toys now. But we get there, and you know, I have the camera, and these guys pull up on like a four-wheeler. You know, the guy has a shotgun, and they're like, "What are you doing here?" The guy's, "Hey, we're going to shoot a music video." They're like, "No, you're not." And it's like, and I was like, "What the?" And I'm thinking, like, I thought you guys had arranged this, and you know, they had not.
Uh-oh.
So this is kind of like, all right, we drove all the way out here. You know, at that point, we didn't have any other ideas, so it was just kind of like, all right, well, let's just figure this out another time. And the place we went was, it was another spot they had picked, a river spot, and it worked out really well. So I didn't even use the like jumping off the cliff type footage.
Right.
But with the river, there was some nice shots where Jimmy Buckets, the lead singer, where he was in this deep spot and he kind of just falls, you know, he kind of lets himself sink and just disappears from the from the shot. So you just see the water. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then we had one of the other guys, Josh Lawson, the guitarist. He had this dog, and so the song was called Time, so we had this clock, and so the dog would grab the clock like a frisbee, and that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it's a little surreal, and it's just like just different elements that came together, and it turned out to be a pretty cool video.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, I'm pretty well planned out, and mm-hmm. things happen, but you know, the more planning you do, you kind of eliminate some of those good stories.
Yeah. I just when you were talking about shooting on the farm and stuff, in my head, I can imagine like all the things that could go wrong, you know, like you having your livestock or whatever, you know, if depending on the farm, but like mm-hmm. all the things that are possibilities on a farm. But I imagine in my head like a Benny Hill kind of reel, like,
oh,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
like all those, you know, the different things that could go happening on a farm shoot.
Yeah, but, totally. And that's one thing. So not on my own project, but a project I helped with a couple of other guests, Jim Ousley and Oscar Madrid. I don't know if you know those guys.
I don't believe so.
But Jim, you know, he's in a lot of theater in town. He's done a lot with the Magic Smoking Monkey Theater. And so they put a short together, and it had a feature script, which was brilliant, called the Bloodfest Club, and that was optioned at one point, and I think the title was changed, and I'm not sure what's happened with that. I'll have to get an update and update the listeners of my show. But yeah, we had went to a friend of mine's property in Calhoun County, Illinois. So it was a peach orchard, and it's my good friend John Webster, who you know, I'll mention, he's one of the sponsors of my show now, and pen and ink artist, brilliant. And he, you know, we just went to his family's farm, and you know, they gave us four wheelers and everything. We had, you know, they were pulling crew around with their pickup trucks, and this one area up on the hill where it was just a bluff. Now another one of his brother's houses is up there, but we, you know, we had dolly tracks and everything, so it was like a martial arts zombie movie. And, yeah, so the farm was a training scene. So, but once again, when you have a good crew, everything's planned out.
Right.
You know, there wasn't really, like, any craziness or anything like that. At one point, Jim Ousley is running around and slips and falls. So you get a nice blooper with that.
Right.
And at one point, they had a scene where, like, this guy throws some fireworks and he jumps on them to cover the explosion. And but that was all planned out, so it was like, no, he didn't light up in flames or anything.
Right.
But yeah, it was just a cool thing, and I put a little documentary. I was going to grad school at the time, so I made that one of my projects and just called it the Bloodfest Club Down on the Farm. So it was a little behind the scenes piece for them. So it turned out pretty good.
Yeah. Very
man.
Cool.
So yeah, you try to work with what you have, and
yeah.
You know, that was something they had a need. I had a project I needed to put together. I was going to be helping them anyway. As you know, at that particular shoot, I was helping with locations. So I didn't have a lot to do as a location manager. So I was like, all right, might as well pull a camera out. And, my good buddy, Matt Romano was there. You know, he's since passed, but, you know, it was cool just working with him on it and seeing him buzz around on four wheelers. He was, I think he was he a producer or production manager on that? I don't even remember. But yeah, it was just cool, you know, to get a good group of friends, a lot of people I went to college with and people that worked in the industry. You know, some have moved to other cities, but yeah, it was just cool really to work with those people and create something really neat.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's it's crazy, man. Like, it just, again, like, you know, these stories and the other ones we've shared, like, you've met some really unique and very interesting people through this and through the podcast, through the film, and like, it's just neat that you're able to have all these.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good, and I hope those stories are interesting to people, because I find myself to be kind of boring at times. I mean, I've done interesting things, but there's not, you know, fortunately, you know, haven't had too many crazy stories on set. You know, things have gone pretty well.
Right.
And that's just, you know, that's attributed to planning and working with people who are really professional.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure once we're done with this, I'll think of some
right, yeah,
some horror stories. But yeah, those are just not to the forefront of my mind. So,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, everybody go click subscribe, follow along on with Ken's podcast, and again, that's Conversations with Calcaterra, and you can follow along on Facebook and KenCalcaterra.com.
Yeah, KenCalcaterra.com is my hub. Facebook, Twitter, loving Instagram. Need to post more, but that's I have the most fun with that as far as social media.
Right.
And follow Shane, everybody. Subscribe to his show. He puts a lot of work into it, and he does a great job in promoting bands and putting up a list of what's going on. I keep busy, so I can't always see what's up, but it's nice when you put out what's happening in St. Louis, right. You know, music and comedy wise, that I can go to that and.
Yeah, a lot of people
make
really
last minute plans.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to really respond to that. And like, lately it's been a little hectic, a little chaotic, but I try to do that almost every night. So it's, but yeah, that's what's cool. There's like when there's like 30, 40 things going on in St. Louis on a Friday night, and it's like, that's nuts to think about. Like, there's just so much music and so much entertainment going on.
There is a lot, but I myself am guilty as well, where it's like, nothing's going on tonight.
Sure.
When really there's a ton of things going
on. Yeah, that's what's inspired it all, was I got sick of people saying that. And I'm like, you know, you're just not looking in the right places kind of thing. So I'm trying to eliminate that, trying to get people to realize there's, you know, a lot more than just going to this bar or whatever. You know, there's so much this city has to offer.
Definitely.
So
cool.
But yeah, man, thank you so much for doing this again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, man. Hopefully it'll be interesting for your listeners.
Yeah, I'm sure, man. We got, like I said, Ken's got a lot of cool things happening, a lot of interesting guests, so check them all out and keep up with what he's doing. And again, stay tuned. Part two's coming up,
the crossover episode. We're like it's like the Infinity Gauntlet,
yeah, right.
or whatever, some of those old X-Men crossovers back in the day when I was collecting comics. So in, you know, X-Men 25 from, you're more the Uncanny X-Men.
Right.
You've got the 400 shows. So stay tuned for Conversations with Calcaterra episode 37.
Oh, yeah.
Continuing this conversation.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.